Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now we're going to look ahead to some of the best TV and cinema releases for the month ahead, and I'm joined in the studio by freelance arts journalist Aoife Barry and producer and director Brian Redden. Great to have you with us.
Good
listen, House of Guinness is out for a few days now, is it? About a week or so, and seems like everybody's talking about it. It's getting loads of coverage, so just wanted to get your take on it. Aoife, you're smiling at me, but you did not like.
You know what? I think if you're a fan of subtle television making, if you're a fan of subtle acting, subtle unrolling of a plot, this is not the show for you. If you like things to be hammered home and you like to be big and bombastic and the performances to be bombastic and the, you know, based on a true story to actually be really leaning towards fiction rather than nonfiction, then this is, you know, it for you. I have to say it didn't really do anything for me. I just felt I was, maybe we're just too close to the topic being Irish. I'm so alert to any Irishness and it's really hammers home a lot of it. There are characters who are dressed in green to indicate they're Fenians. You know, there's a couple in there of relationship with not a spark of chemistry between them. It didn't really do anything for me, but that said, I seem to be in the minority because it got a 5-star Guardian review, which is remarkable. Mm. People outside of Ireland seem to really connect with it, but you know, I'm going to categorise it under NFM. Not for me.
Not for you.
Not for Brian.
I was kind of willing to give it the benefit of the doubt, and I watched the first 3 episodes and I kind of enjoyed it, but by the time I got to 3 episodes, I had enough of it. I just said no more. I'm not going to watch it. It was for all those reasons, like you were saying, The Guardian loved it. It's in America, it's getting great reviews. Yep. The Brits seem to love it. Every Irish critic absolutely hates it. And for all those reasons, it's very over the top, it's very heightened, it's very Kamal, you know, shillelaghs under the arms. Let's fight the Brits and we'll get Ireland back. Everybody walks through flames all the time. There's lots of flames.
Don't you walk through flames every time you're in Dublin?
But every time, I mean, the Guinness, they seem to be making barrels all the time. So there's always shots of flames. And there's, I go, what? But then it's like, if you've seen at the start of it, there's some kind of a riot at a funeral, which never happened in reality. That, like, it was the complete opposite. We were just chatting about this.
Yeah.
When that Guinness patriarch died, when he was brought to the streets of Dublin, people came out in their droves to pay their respects and doff their caps towards him, because the Guinnesses were good to the people of Dublin, you know. Mm-hmm. And in this thing, there's a riot at the start of it where the Fenians kind of hijacked the funeral. And like one thing it did for me, I kind of knew that. I had to go back in and check it and say, that didn't happen, did it? And of course it didn't. Now it's inspired. They say it's inspired.
Yeah, they don't claim it's a
it's not a documentary.
It's not historical retelling.
Yeah. So we get that. Yeah. It's not a documentary. But I just think, you know, there's a man's character, James Norton, who's the he's not a Fenian, no, but he works for the Guinnesses.
He's a bad boy.
He's worked really hard in his accent. I saw the actor being interviewed. He goes, I worked really hard because I was working with Irish actors and I wanted to make sure that I got the accent absolutely right.
And did he?
Nobody seemed to tell him on the day. People would have gone up to him and say, he's walking in going, well, lads, what do you think? Is it right there? Do I have it right? You do indeed, James. Say nothing.
Look, it's a tough accent to do. It's a tough accent to do. He hasn't quite narrowed down the county he's from, I think, at times. But it's an Irish area in general.
For the money that's in it, it's very bad. The CGI, the blue screen, green screen, whatever they're using for Dublin, because it was all shot in Liverpool. Not a frame of it was shot in Ireland. Ah. So all the backdrops,
I'll still give it a shot, though. I will give it a shot.
Have you seen any of it?
No, because I'm watching Black Rabbit and it takes me a long time.
I watched an episode of that and then I turned over and watched an episode of Black Rabbit. And the quality of the acting in Black Rabbit is so
I really
fantastic.
Like it. It's great.
And then they go back onto it again and they're all great Irish actors. And they're going, why? Why are they so crap? Why are they acting like this? Like it's obviously the director
told
them to do it.
Maybe we're just too Irish for it. Maybe it's not for us.
So there might be a bit of that.
I suppose with the show, you know what you're going to get with it, which is a big, bombastic, like opposite of subtle show. And I think everybody plays up to what that you expected. And that's, you know, what did really well for Peaky Blinders. You know, it really had an impact on culture. There was lads going around with, you know, paddy caps on and wearing waistcoats and tweed and stuff all the time. So some people are really, really into that, and I guess you either into it or you're not.
Let's move on because we're spending too much time on it.
Listen, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Let's get to some recommendations. Mm-hmm. So, Slow Horses is out.
The new season 5
on Apple TV. Now, I sometimes get worried when I see it's season 5. Mm. Is it still able to do it?
Yeah, and it's been renewed for season 6 and 7.
Really?
Yeah, and what they do is they make 2 seasons at one time. So they've already, you get a little trailer for season 6 at the end. I've already seen all of this series. I love Slow Horses. I do think that sometimes it can kind of, some series are better than others.
Yes.
I do think this is one of the better series, definitely. I really like that it shifts focus a little bit to some of the characters, different characters. So Roddy Ho, who is the pretty odious tech wizard on Slow Horses, they're all failed MI5 agents basically together working in a place called Slough House. And he is one of the characters who's always kind of a little bit in the background, and he comes to the fore in this season because the questions are whether or not this new woman he's in a relationship, who's this very glamorous woman and nobody kind of knows why she's in a relationship with him. The question is she up to something dodgy, and is he being targeted by people? And so his relationship with this woman get tied up with this greater kind of terror plot that's going on in London. It's based on the book London Rules by McCarran. Obviously, all of these are based on McCarran books. And, you know, it really does reflect a lot of what's happening in the UK now. Politically, there's a character there who perhaps is a little bit inspired by Nigel Farage. And, you know, you have that sense of like fractured communities, people being divided and terror being, you know, kind of on the fringes. There are some episodes I felt the tension dropped a little bit compared to other episodes. It was interesting to see River Cartwright, who's played by Jack Loudon, my favourite character in it, is a little bit muted compared to the previous season. So there's a lot of new stuff going on there, but I think for fans, there's all the stuff that you love, and it's a real brilliant character study. They're all really great examples of great
characters. Still worth investing in Slow Horses.
Definitely.
On Apple TV. Steve Coogan is back.
He is.
Norfolk's most cringe-inducing broadcaster, Alan
Partridge. He has returned. I mean, you're hearing a lot about this in the media lately, but it looks great and fair. So it's going to be on BBC on Friday, and this is his new series. So the last time we saw him, he'd returned to the BBC. He's a chat show host. He had his afternoon show, this time with Alan Partridge. Now, he's left the BBC. That's actually, surprisingly, that's almost 5 years ago. Yeah. It's an amazing thing how long ago that was. So he's left the BBC, and in the meantime, Alan has ended up working in Saudi Arabia. That hasn't gone well for him, and now he's returned back to the BBC, and he's not the BBC, he's returned back to the UK, and he's in Norfolk and he's doing some corporate work when he has a moment where he feels a bit down, and Alan decides that he has mental health issues. So he decides he's going to do a documentary series where he looks, in fact, as it's billed in the BBC, the first ever BBC documentary about Britain's mental health, presented by Alan Partridge. Now, that doesn't seem like a good premise for comedy, does it? But and it's called, like, How Are You? I'm Alan. And it's basically where he's going to look at
Britain's
mental health.
It'll be great. We know it'll be great.
I've seen clips of it, and it's hilarious. And the whole campaign around, they've done it so well. The campaign around it, for example, they have Alan, the character of Alan Partridge, out doing, like what Nigel Farage did in those cameo things, you know, where they paid him to do these messages. So he's basically crowdfunding this show. So in theory, the BBC haven't funded it, it's crowdfunded. And all that stuff is out there at the moment on YouTube now. It's hilarious. So the first episode's on Friday. It's a 6-part series. All the original characters from the last series are back in this as well. His sidekick, who was on Norfolk Digital with them, is back. He's paid
by Tim Key.
Very careful what I say there. How you say that? Norfolk Digital. There you go. So it's just really just a lot of fun.
All right, so that's Friday on the BBC. Now we're going to the cinema next, Aoife, with I Swear. This is in cinemas from the 10th.
10th of October. It's such a lovely film. I was really lucky to interview Kirk Jones, who is the director of it, and Robert Arameo, who plays John Davidson. So this is a biopic. It's about real life story of a guy called John Davidson, who was diagnosed with Tourette's syndrome at a really young age. He was like 15 or 16 when he was diagnosed, at a time, he's in his 50s I think now, at a time when there wasn't as much discussion or even knowledge around what Tourette's was. And this tells the story of his life kind of from his teen years up to present day, and it's such a heartbreaking but uplifting film. I think if you like films like Billy Elliot or Pride, it's got that kind of a tone to it where you really feel those sad emotions and you watch these desperate situations that he ends up in because of other people's ignorance and the stigma that he puts up with. But then you also feel like the love that he feels from different relationships, including a woman who's played by Maxine Peake, who's the mother of a friend who kind of takes him in.
Actress.
She's just so outstanding in it. You also have Peter Mullen as well, who's always just so brilliant on screen, director of Magdalene Sisters, but also starred in films like War Horse. So you have a brilliant cast. It's really beautifully made, very sympathetic to him. There is a lot of humour in it without punching down at people. And I think John Davidson, you know, he was an executive producer. He had, you know, I suppose a say in how he was depicted, and that really comes through, that it's very respectful of him. And then finally, keep an eye out for Scott Ellis Watson, who plays the young John Davidson. One of the best best performances you'll see all year. He's absolutely stunning, and he's just a really humble, lovely guy, only a young teenager. His brother actually went for the audition and he ended up getting the role, but he's fantastic in it. So that's in the cinemas from the 10th of October. It's called I Swear.
Okay, one to watch. And I want to mention Lazarus as well, because you liked this, didn't you, Brian? Or you liked the sound of it?
I love Harlan Coben. I mean, his stuff is amazing. He does a lot of stuff on Netflix. His books are very, you don't like him, no? I love that stuff. I think it's great.
Well, listen, they fly at the airport. Close. You know, if you want something that's a bit of a challenge,
a thriller
challenge.
Even if you're like, what is happening here? But you're gripped kind of for the whole thing.
And it's always Netflix he puts his stuff on, you know. But this isn't based on a book. He's written this for the screen. So this is an original screenplay by him. And it's called Lazarus. It's on Amazon Prime later this month, October 22nd. So basically, it's the story of a guy called Lazarus, who's a forensic pathologist, played by the English actor Sam Claflin is how you pronounce his name. Claflin, he's a great actor, good actor. He was in that Daisy and the Six recently in America. Good actor. Anyway, his father, played by Bill Nighy, apparently commits suicide. He comes home to look after the family affairs, and as he does, he starts to see ghosts and starts to have these weird moments. Supernatural experiences, and he tries to dig deeper into his father's apparent suicide, which looks like it might have been a murder. So it's kind of a twisty, turny thriller with a lot of supernatural elements thrown into it.
Sounds good.
Looks really good. The trailer looks fantastic for it.
And just a mention for this Irish documentary, again coming out on the 10th in cinemas, A Want in Her. Tell us about this one, Aoife.
Yeah, it's not an easy watch, but it's a really beautifully made documentary about a young woman called Myrid Carton. She's actually the director of it, and she makes it about her relationship with her mother, Nuala, who suffers from addiction issues. And it's really about family trauma, family legacy, how to keep kind of moving when you've been suffering, about the relationship between herself and her mother. Because Myrid is an artist as well, it's really made very, very beautifully, and it combines some art projects she made with her mother as well as the documentary footage as well too. So it's really, if you're really interested in kind of tricky relationships and how do people cope and the legacy of things, you know, like the Troubles, and like there's elements in it about being a Gael Gore living in Donegal, all these Irish elements that are done in a really subtle way in this. So it's called A Want in Her, and it's in cinemas from the 10th of October.
And a quick mention of this Netflix one, Monster, the Ed Gein story.
They're always difficult to try and recommend these things, but you know, this is this whole series of the serial killers that Ryan Murphy.
Well, they did
done.
Jeffrey Dahmer, didn't
so
they?
You've seen Jeffrey Dahmer and the Menendez brothers. This is the latest one about Ed Gein. So Ed Gein was the guy who inspired Norman Bates in Psycho, inspired the character of Norman Bates in Psycho. 1950s America, Wisconsin. He did unspeakable things to people, to women primarily, and this is basically the story of his life and what he got up to. Now, obviously, you can criticise these things about glamorising these people, and he's played brilliantly by the English actor Charlie Hunnam, but I don't know. It's a difficult one to recommend.
But some people are into those, and they will
enjoy it. The trailer for it is horrific looking.
Okay.
You know, and these people, you know, these villains attract great actors and usually good stories. So it'll be interesting to see. That's on Netflix. Actually, this week starts on Friday.
Okay, if it's your thing, you can go there. Listen, lots to watch and see. Thank you so much, Aoife and Brian, for coming into us.